Hey, good morning on this fine Friday, October 29th. Welcome to the Bipolar Bear Podcast with your host, Garrett Michael Conklin. Well, little update for me. Went to a Gojira show last night with my son out in Rochester, New York. That was pretty cool. It's always fun to do stuff with my kids. My son still includes me in some fun things like that, so that's pretty cool. So thanks, G-Money. G-Money, Michael, what's up? Appreciate that. Anyway, good times. I'm a little tired today. I have to go get my liver scanned today, so yeah, that kind of sucks. I can't eat until like 11, so boo, or at least after the test. So I'm not sure entirely why that would matter if I've eaten for a ultrasound, but whatever. Got to follow the rules. Hopefully things will come back good, and I won't have, I'll have some more time to stay fat and apparently do nothing about that condition, because that's what I'm doing now. Anyway, today I wanted to talk a little bit about the duality of reality. Not really the concept from an academic perspective, but just for definition's sake, the theory of dualism, or metaphysical dualism, contends that the true picture of reality has two parts, physical bodies and non-physical minds. It's separate from the reductionist view that everything in the universe is made up of atoms and energy and nothing else. Interesting. Yeah, so we haven't been able to really define like consciousness, and I talk about this every now and again. And the reason I'm bringing it up is because yesterday on our ride home, we had to take kind of a back road. So going from Lockport, New York to Rochester, New York, you can take the New York State Thruway. But for whatever reason, when we were coming home, it took us, the mapping took us kind of through the back roads, because, you know, we're up a little bit north, like I've said before, and Lockport is kind of a rural area, so you can actually get to Rochester through all these back country roads. The problem with the back country roads is they're loaded with deer jumping across the road. They're super windy and hilly, and I don't think anyone in any of these counties has heard of a fucking streetlight. Because it is dark as can be. I mean, it is literally, you have to drive with your brights on or you cannot see anything beyond 10 feet in front of you. It's awful. So in doing that, and of course, you know, some of these roads are being redone, so there's no lines on them. I don't know if you've ever driven in pitch darkness on a brand new, really dark black, you know, like a fresh paved road. It looks like a black ocean, like you can't make out the edge. There's no shoulder. It's just an abyss kind of darkness. It's really shitty. So in any event, that caused me enormous anxiety. So my heart started palpitating, you know, just all this bullshit that I have to deal with in life. And it's just, you know, I'm so sick and tired of all this crap. It's like, why can't I just, I don't know. I guess as I've gotten older, these things have gotten worse for me, which really sucks. But, you know, I try to take my wife's advice. It is, you know, what it is. Try to embrace it and just recognize that this is who you are now, and don't overthink it and worry about it too much. So that doesn't always help, but I'm trying. Anyway, so my point is that as I was driving and kind of coming in and out of consciousness, it would appear, like, not really, like, you know, I was aware and awake, and, you know, like I said, I was stressing out from anxiety the whole time. But it's a very strange thing to think about the dualistic scenario that's kind of going on for all of us, whereby you're a physical body. And this is what I mean. Like, it was so fucking dark that like every little bit of light felt like it was out of place, because it was so damn bright when it would pop up. It would distract you from kind of like the lack of everything else that was going on as I was driving. Like, so, you know, you're looking ahead and you see nothing but darkness and a very little bit of what my lights were able to illuminate as I'm driving down the road. And then all of a sudden a bright light comes in or something changed, and it makes you aware of the fact that you're like inside your own head. It's like, holy shit, man. It's kind of a trippy feeling. And thankfully I didn't have like a full-on panic attack or anything like that, because I've had those a number of times while driving, and that's never good. But it seems like the road hypnotism for me kind of does something to my head, and it puts me in like this weird state of mind where everything that I'm experiencing, for some reason, I feel like I'm like isolated in my head. And then I start going down that road of thinking about like, well, who am I? Well, what's my name? Well, what's this? Well, where am I? You know, all these racing thoughts that, you know, absolutely don't calm me down. They make me feel worse by huge margins. You know, they start to come into focus. So it made me really think about, as I was driving, you know, had some profound thoughts. I want to say, a secondary word of the day would be profundity. That's a cool word, right? It's fun to say. Say it with me. Profundity. Anyway, you know, I had some profound thoughts about it. It's like, wow, where am I really? Like, what? And even if I think about that, like right now, by saying it out loud, and I'm looking at my computer screen as I was just reading the definition of metaphysical dualism, or the duality of reality in this case, it makes me feel like, what is the consciousness that's inside of your physical being? That is such a conundrum. Word of the day, the official word of the day here on the Bipolar Buyer podcast is conundrum. But that's such a strange and unusual, but everyone has it, so it's super common in human beings. The fact that we're aware of it, I think, is what really perplexes me the most, is that I can sit here and think about the fact that, well, what the hell is around my consciousness? What is going on there that I'm aware of myself, but I'm not aware of what my consciousness actually is? Oh, that's such a brain teaser. It's just such a, it's like trying to conceive the universe and what could possibly be around an ever expanding model of existence, right? So if you go with the theory that where, you know, the universe is perpetually expanding, then it has to be expanding into something else, right? I mean, there has to be something around. So what the hell is that? And then it makes you really feel, it's like, wow, we're infinitesimally small in the grand scheme of things. But it really does kind of push this theory of like, well, man was created in the image of God. We had to have been created in the image of something, because there's so much out there that is just inanimate in every way. It has no sense of consciousness or reality or anything, like planets, stars, all that stuff, you know, is just matter. It wouldn't appear as if it has, maybe it does, who knows? I mean, we don't know this, but it doesn't appear as if it's conscious in the way that human beings are. And that's such a weird and unique and, wow, what a, just an outstanding thing to be a part of. I mean, can you imagine how rare and unique that is? Even if there are billions of civilizations throughout the universe, that still means civilization as we know it is very unique. And doesn't seem to be like, you know, the bulk of what's out there when you look at the vastness of space and all that. So why are we here to think about these things that I'm talking about right now? There's got to be some purpose behind the ability to have this kind of thought process, right? I mean, either that or it's the sickest fucking joke that's ever been put out there. But the fact that I can think and conceive all the things that I just said are, you know, truly what make human beings very unique. And, you know, I'm not saying that everybody has to think this way, but the fact that you can think this way and have the ability to think and discuss things that are so ridiculous like this, and I don't mean funny, I mean ridiculous, and they're incomprehensible. We can't describe them with math, with physics, with science, with nothing. It's just, some part of our consciousness has this ability to think about these things in ways that are unexplainable. I mean, and then you can go on and think about, well, what is your imagination? What is your subconscious? You know, you get into these real deep, profound, there's my profundity again, profound thought processes around things that are, you know, for all intents and purposes, normal in our lives. You know, I just noticed this. Logic is kind of brown now. That's weird. Total tangent there, left field. Sorry about that, but I remember that as I opened up the workstation to get work to start the podcast, that I'd forgotten that there was an update to Logic, and I hadn't used Logic since. And you know, so it opens and it's like, oh, welcome, you know, it's all this brand new stuff. And I noticed that The parts that were gray, some of them are now brown and orange. Weird. I guess I could probably change the scheme, the theme of what this thing is, but I don't think it really makes any difference, but it looks a little bit different. Anyway, I don't know what version of Logic I'm on right now. I can't tell because, hey, note to self and everyone else out there using Logic, don't try to find out what version you're using while you're recording. That completely fucks it up. But I'm on 10.7.0 now, so it was a major upgrade because I know I was on 10.6 some increment, some minor version like that. So now I've moved up to 10.7. I guess I should go and see what all the new stuff is. But quite frankly, I haven't done anything but podcasting in Logic in a while. I haven't written any music or done anything like that for a while. So kind of on hiatus from the music thing because, well, let me go on to another tangent here. This is really strange. So the other day I got you know how your bank, you get like a deposit and it's like detail not available. Well, I got like a $2,700 deposit into my account the other day. And I'm like, what was that? I'm like, is that my tax return from the state that they continually think that I owe them money when they owe me money kind of a thing? I have probably should look that up while I'm thinking about that now. But, you know, I use the Harry Fox agency. I had mentioned that a few times, I think, in publishing-oriented or music business-oriented podcasts. So I got a deposit for $2,639.07 on my, you know, like that pending section where it says detail, deposit, detail, not available. And I'm like, what the hell is that? Right? So I know I'm repeating myself, but I wanted to put the number up there. A day or two later, I'm like, well, that's weird. I don't know why $2,600 would be hitting my account. There's no reason for that. So I just kind of, you know, moved on. And then I'm like, the next day I kept checking it because, of course, I'm curious. I'm like, that seems strange. I know I didn't do anything that would have caused that. And it said it was from HFA, which is the Harry Fox agency. So I'm like, what the hell is going on? Very strange. Right. So I'm like, all right, let me go. That's an inordinate amount of money for me to get from Harry Fox. Usually my checks are like, I don't know, 100, 150 bucks. They're, you know, the statement, the checks are, they're not huge. That's a pretty decent amount of money. So I'm like, what is that? So I went and looked, and interestingly enough, there is nothing there. So I don't entirely know what the hell's going on there, but they paid me a huge sum of money for no apparent reason that I'm able to discover or find. So I'm a little concerned about that. So I just moved the money somewhere else so that I can hang on to it in case they come back and go, hey, we made a mistake. We weren't supposed to do that. Because I don't know what the hell they're giving me $2,600 for. That doesn't make any sense. I don't have any material that all of a sudden jumped off that I'm aware of that all of a sudden is going to be paying me an inordinate amount of money like that. So kind of weird. Sorry for that tangent, but as I was thinking about music stuff, that popped into my head. Anyway, getting back to the duality of reality. I should put like a delay on that. That would be funny, right? The duality of reality, reality, reality. Anyway, I've been having a lot of conversations with myself, especially in my car ride home last night, where it was just kind of all over the place, really. But then again, when am I not all over the place? I mean, that's just who I am as a person, I guess. That's just, what are you going to do? You know? I had I was listening to the Joe Rogan podcast the other day, and he had on, I'm going to destroy this guy's name, but it's Chuck Palahniuk from Fight Club. He's the guy that wrote Fight Club, one of my favorite movies. Anyway, really interesting guy, but it really was a very revealing podcast in how eccentric people that have been financially successful really are. This guy built like a castle in his backyard throughout the pandemic, just for fun, just for the exercise. I mean, just crazy stuff. But what an interesting episode. But, you know, these guys really kind of got into some really interesting conversations, I think, about, you know, he seemed like a very intelligent guy, but they were talking a lot about, you know, and as this relates to duality of reality, they were talking about brain injuries and like getting hit in the head. And it seems like so many people that have been, that have had cranial trauma of some kind have either gone in one of two directions. They've gone to kind of to like a slobbering, you know, it's negatively impacted them where they've become more ignorant and slower and lost coordination, and or they become kind of like a superhero, and like all of a sudden some hidden talent is all of a sudden manifest. And what he was explaining was that as a kid, I guess he got bullied somewhere, wherever he was living, I don't know, somewhere in California, I think it sounded like, and he got beat up by a whole bunch of kids and they broke his jaw and all this crap. And prior to that, he was a terrible writer. Like he, you know, he wasn't successful at all. You know, as a young man, young, whatever, he was like a kid, I guess, like, you know, like a teenager area, like high school, maybe the start of college, something like that. But the point was that he got hit in the head hard, was probably concussed, and came away literally after, you know, he kind of got recovered, I guess, some period of time, you know, he didn't mention how long, but, and then all of a sudden, all of his writing took off and he was just at a different level. And so many people have called that out where they've been like, I guess Roseanne Barr was in a car accident and was described by her family as a very different person prior to the accident. And then after Sam Kinison, that happened too. So I guess this is a very, you know, it can be a very common thing. And of course, you know, disclaimer, nobody is, even on that podcast, no, they were saying this as well. Nobody is telling you to go out there and pound your head against the wall or something, or, you know, injure yourself so that you can have this. Because remember, a lot of people that have had traumatic head injuries have not come out this way on the other side. They've actually gotten significantly worse and had a lot of problems. So I thought it was interesting, though, that there's ways in which you can impact your brain that can unlock different skill sets or different abilities that you can then, that can then manifest themselves in your physical existence. So I guess, you know, in context with what I'm talking about with, you know, the duality of reality and the fact that, you know, on one hand you're a physical being and, you know, you're aware of that, but on the other hand, you're completely ethereal in some way when it comes to your conscious and unconscious mind, even though your mind is a physical thing. And we've scientifically proven, I guess, that the electromagnetic surges and charges and impulses and everything that go on in your physical brain are what give you a consciousness and a subconscious. We have no idea how any of that works. And that's interesting. You know, I think you would think that, at least I would have thought that, you know, because of the fact that we all share that as human beings, and we all strive for more and to be successful and all these different things. And that's completely subjective, of course, but you would think that there would be an inordinate amount of experimentation really that's going on publicly, you know, like not something that's hidden away, that would allow us to enhance our minds and our human experience. But we really don't do that. We're so petty still. I feel like we're so unevolved in so many ways because we have such an opportunity to do things and discover things. But basically, if it doesn't have a context of financial gain, then there seems to be no real interest in anyone pursuing subject matter that is just for pure benefit of the end user, if you will. You know, it's like, I guess you don't make a great video game unless you can sell it. You know, I mean, there's always these constraints put on things. It's like, well, yeah, we could make it so much better, but it's going to cost so much money to do that. We're not going to do that. Even though it would make the game generally, you know, overall a much better experience, it's not going to be done because it's not financially viable to do that. And that's so disappointing. That's so depressing that as a society, we're still stuck in this mindset that it's all about money and control and power and things like that. And it's not about truly the essence of the human mind and the human being and the human experience. And I would wonder, and I wonder often, if we were able to take ourselves to the next level intellectually, would all of this nonsense and all of this suffering and bullshit just go away? Because we'd finally collectively as a society, as a species, go, yeah, this is, none of this is worth it. Why are we doing this? you know, and I've talked about this a lot of times in various episodes that, you know, it feels like we're holding ourselves back in a lot of ways because we just can't evolve past these physical scenarios. And, you know, we don't know what happens when you die. So it's hard to, you know, envision what that is. But so many people have said they've seen apparitions and ghosts and spirits and all this stuff that it's hard to believe that in the vastness of the universe, as I was describing before, and having something around the universe that's just completely incomprehensible, that things that we can conceive are not possible. That's just ridiculous. That doesn't make any sense to think that way. I think that anything that you can contrive in your mind is in fact possible and is a reality in some way, shape, or form, maybe not here, but somewhere. So yeah, do I believe in ghosts? I've never seen one, but how can I not believe in the possibility of that being a possibility or being a reality? There's no way that couldn't be true. Some way, somehow, maybe we're not able to all perceive it yet, but some people are. That's completely reasonable to think. If we can think about a universe that's, you know, what, 13 some odd billion light years, you know, long or wide or in diameter, whatever, however they measure that thing. And it could have multi-universe, you know, it could be the multiverse and string theory, all these, you know, really interesting ways of kind of trying to solve for these problems. If all of that stuff is feasible, then why wouldn't, once we die, our consciousness, you know, transcends and goes somewhere else and does something different, and it exists on some other plane of existence. I think that's completely reasonable. It's disappointing that we don't know that for a certainty, because I think that would really help us live a better life. If you know that when you died, it wasn't the end, you probably could focus more on being a higher quality person in your current life, because you wouldn't be so concerned about amassing all this dumb materialistic shit that means nothing. And you'd be working toward the greater good of what you're going to ascend to become once you've passed on. I don't know. I find this whole subject very interesting, and it's fun to talk about it for me because, you know, especially after having an evening like last night where I'm driving home, and for whatever reason, the hypnotic state of the car and the utter darkness and the darkness of the road and not being able to see very well, just kind of, I wonder if that's what Joe Rogan is always, and I hate to always say that guy's name, but, you know, I mean, he is one of the biggest podcasters out there. And I listen to him pretty frequently. I wonder if that's what he means when he talks about being in that hyperbaric chamber where it's like sensory deprivation. And I think you're laying in like a shallow pool of perfectly warmed water. So you can't feel, so it feels like you're kind of like floating and you can't hear anything. You don't see anything. You don't smell anything. You know, it's a very get inside your head kind of experience. I wonder if that's kind of, you know, what that does. To some degree, that would scare me, I think, because I'm definitely an anxious person. And when I get out of my comfort zone, like when I feel like I'm kind of floating about my body and I'm not really in it, that's kind of what these feel like. Is it's not like an out-of-body experience, like I'm looking back at myself. But to some degree, it's almost like that, in that my head and stuff and my body feel like this shell that's around whatever it is that I am as a consciousness. And it, like, it becomes in some odd kind of way tangible. I mean, I know that's probably pretty difficult to get to wrap your mind around, but that's how it feels. It's hard to describe what that is, but it kind of feels like not actively looking at yourself, but you feel as if you're not inside your physical body anymore. And for me, that's been a very, I don't know, that's a very disconcerting feeling. Unfortunately, I've not been able to embrace it really and just go with it. I'm like start flipping out because it's a very strange feeling. It's very disorienting and it's very scary for me because I feel like I'm not who I am anymore. And I think that's the point, right? That's what it's trying to do is allow me to experience that, but I'm just too chicken shit to do it. And that really sucks because I talk a good game right now when it's not happening and like, oh yeah, I'd embrace it. And I think it would be great. But when it's happening, it's such a real feeling that it's just terrifying. And I guess that points to the fact that perhaps we're not quite ready yet to experience what the next point of evolution is for perhaps our consciousness and what we are as a being. And I think that's why aliens and extraterrestrials and you know, things that are wildly advanced from where we are probably can't really do much with us, because for the majority of the people that are out there that are like me, you wouldn't be able to just take it in and not completely melt down. I think it would be just a system overload to have something come down and like enter your mind and join you in your consciousness and somehow communicate with you would completely flip you out. Not everybody's going to be open to that kind of scenario, even though I say openly that I would love for that to happen. I would imagine that, a superior being would look down at me and go, yeah, dude, you're going to lose your fucking mind if I do this to you. So you're just not ready for this. And disappointingly, as much as I'd want to be ready for that, I'd have to agree with the fact that I probably would completely melt down and panic myself into some state of like, I don't know, catatonic, just like drooling on myself. I think it would be really difficult to take that in, because it would just be, it's like the first time you've done anything. It's just new. You don't know what to expect. So you kind of just have to jump in and hope for the best. And I don't know. I feel like as I've grown, I've expanded my mind and, I think about things differently, but really, I've probably gone in a counterproductive direction when it comes to being open-minded about actually doing some of these things. Like I've never done drugs in my life because I'm afraid of them. I don't like the feeling of being out of control. I know a lot of people like that. And, Joe Rogan, again, I'm going to just keep talking about this guy apparently today, talks about how he likes the feeling of paranoia that he gets when he gets high. And it's like, man, I friggin' hate that feeling. That's the reason I don't smoke marijuana, is because I cannot stand that feeling. And it's such a random thing that like all of a sudden you're paranoid, and man, I do not like that feeling of anxiety, where he describes it as he actually likes that feeling. And I'm like, holy shit, dude, you're a fucking gangster. That guy's got to be like a savage, for crying out loud, when it comes to like, if he wants to feel like that. Yeah, I don't want to feel like that. I deal with it when it happens, but I certainly don't want to make that happen. I want to do everything in my power to never have that happen ever. But I think that's, when you look at some people that have, they're not afraid of heights, so they can jump out of planes, and they base jump and they tightrope walking, just crazy shit like that, where it just doesn't bother them. Like my wife doesn't have a fear of heights. She's just like fearless. And it just blows my mind, because I get up on a ladder and I'm on the second story of our house and I'm like gripping the damn thing for dear life. Like I'm going to fall and die. And it's like, I just can't function. So I think I'm probably a subpar human being when it comes to the evolutionary scale. And I, like I've said before, because of the physical disabilities that I have, and obviously the mental disabilities as well, I mean, I would absolutely be, pruned off from the branch of evolution, because I am not, by any stretch of the imagination, what you want to evolve to, or, take the seed to become. So I hope that my kids have, stripped away, or would be able to strip away all of the bad stuff that I put into the soup that made them. But, unfortunately, that's not really how evolution works. Like, people like me would have to no longer exist for us to move forward. And, that's a pretty hard thing to say about yourself, and that, self-admission that, I probably shouldn't exist. I mean, it's too late now. I've already made 3 children, so I've actually kind of moved us in the wrong direction to some degree. And it's hard to say. My kids are still pretty young, so it's not like I have any idea what they'll turn out to be when they're in their 50s or, middle-aged, or when they're fully grown and all that. But, you would imagine natural selection, you'd want to really pick from the best of the best. And I can imagine that a society at some point will get to a point where we manipulate DNA so you can pretty much program what you want to have as an offspring. And I guess the scariest part about that is not necessarily what people would do, but, individuals like parents, but what the government would do with something like that. And I think, there's been countless movies where they've done things like this in the movie as the storyline, and it never seems to turn out right. whether they're splicing shit together or they're manipulating DNA to, you know, supposedly make this perfect soldier or, you know, whatever it is, it's always for the wrong reason. It's never for the greater good of anything. It's never like, you know, a pilgrimage kind of thing where we're trying to make people better for good reasons. It's we're trying to do it so that we can amass more power and wealth. And that always leads to, you know, a pretty sadistic end to all of these scenarios where nothing ever seems to pan out the right way and it always goes wrong and we end up in a worse place than we were before and we destroy all the evidence and the document. You know, I mean, that's just everything about that is seems to end negatively. And perhaps that's just where the creators have taken it from a direction standpoint. But I think, again, the problem even with ideas like this, who would want to go see a movie where somebody becomes this risen individual and they become like, a, you know, like a spiritual leader? I mean, we don't, it just seems to be no audience for that. Like, people want to watch shit getting blown up and people getting murdered and all this just horrific savagery that, you know, it seems to dominate the majority of our movies. And even the, you know, like, movies that are, you know, serious, like dramatic movies, are often super sad. They're so infrequently are they positive. They're always so negative. We're just a very, there's a lot of negative energy floating around out there. And, you know, I think that's really doing a lot more damage than we probably give it credit for. And I guess you could argue, you know, to some degree, if you go to an extremist standpoint and go, well, that's the active devil in modern society is out there, you know, creating all this turmoil and all this havoc for us. And that really sucks. You know, it really does, because I feel like me as a person, I need as much positivity around me as I can find because I'm so friggin' negative on my own. I don't really need much help to see more. I need help to see, you know, the good things and get nurtured and supported and loved and things that I don't have in my life that, you know, I would argue potentially would help me a lot. I mean, maybe they wouldn't. Maybe it's too late at this point. I have no idea. I mean, you know, I've been in this headspace for an awfully long time now, and it's probably a pretty difficult thing to unwind at this point and, you know, try to start to be something different than I am without like some forceful way of doing it through, you know, some kind of medications or something like that. And thus far, my experience with medication has been fairly mediocre. It hasn't really done shit. You know, and to that end, medicine has been throughout my life, other than for my heart, because those are non-tangibles. You don't really feel the effects of that directly. It's an indirect thing. It doesn't affect your mind or alter your state of mind at all. But, you know, taking medications is like, it's a sacrifice. You know, and I don't think a lot of people say that. Or anyone says that, but it really is. When you take head drugs, you know, like antipsychotics and things like that, and, you know, whatever the hell's benzodiazepines are, and, you know, like Latuda, things like whatever that stuff is, it affects your mental state. It's a trade-off because you have to give up. Like, these things don't work well enough where they can just stop the problem. Right? They're not targeted enough where they'll just go in and go, okay, well, this particular set of electronics that's going on in your brain, these sensories that are firing wrong or overstimulating some part of your brain that are making you feel the way that you are, you know, let's just shut that off or let's get that back to a normal state. Again, how would we know what normal is for anyone? You know, we probably don't, but mapping the brain would probably be a first start. But what I mean by, you know, it's what I mean by that is to make this stuff change, you have to give up some piece of your, you know, who you are as your consciousness. You have to, some part of you has to be sacrificed because we're shooting a wide target. You know, we're not, like I said, this isn't laser focused and pinpointed on a specific, you know, strand of DNA or something, or a specific set of cells or a specific process that's going on in your mind. Chemically, it's much broader. So instead of like shooting a streamlined hose, you know, at a very targeted fixed point, we're shooting like a big spray nozzle that's hitting like a, you know, a huge amount of stuff. Yeah, it's getting the spot we need, but it's also, you're sacrificing a lot of other stuff to be on these medications. So there's a real kind of, I guess, a judgment that you have to make. It's like, how much of yourself are you willing to lose to not be yourself anymore and conform? And, you know, I guess you could argue that, you know, maybe there is nothing wrong with me, and it's just the interpretation of people going, well, there's something wrong with you. Well, maybe there really isn't. Maybe this is just how I am, and it's totally normal and fine, but because of the fact that we're aware of it, and now we've made it into a, hey, there's something wrong with you, now you try to approach it from a solutions perspective and try to solve for it, when, in fact, it may not even be a problem. Now, I guess you could argue that people that go around mass murdering people are, you know, that's maybe a different kind of problem, and we don't want that in our society, but, you know, I mean, this sounds cold and just awful, but people die every day. I mean, you know, I mean, it really is a reality that that's just the cycle of life, that we have no control over that in any way, shape, or form at this point in our existence. So it is what it is. And, you know, while it's sad, of course, I mean, you know, people are dying literally right now as I'm speaking. It's just a part of existence. That's just the way it goes. So I guess there's not a whole lot we can do about that. And, you know, back to the duality of reality for me to just kind of summarize this whole thing, I guess I'm just going to keep on going and walking life's path and try to embrace these things a little bit more constructively than I normally do. And I feel like I did that a little bit last night, where I was kind of freaking out in my head, but it was an interesting enough experience that I'm able to somewhat articulate how I felt today in this episode. So that's pretty cool. I think maybe that's a little bit of progress for me. And I don't know. With that, I guess I'll just move on. And wish everybody a happy Halloween if you celebrate such things, and go out there and be safe. Go trick-or-treating, get some good candy. And, you know, I hope you have a good weekend. Talk to you soon.